Welcome to the Inglourious Blasters podcast, the Star Wars Legion podcast talking anything and everything glorious or inglorious about the game. My name is Corey. With me today are three squealers I call friends, John, Brendan, and LJ. How's it going, my dudes?
Hey.
Hey, hey.
It's going good. No insult.
He said us we're squealers.
Yeah.
Oh. Never
never mind. Come on, there, John.
If you want to take it that way, that's fine. As I was combing through the list of like insults, a word to describe new Imperial officers. Yeah, I've never read Alphabet Squadron. I've never read Alphabet Squadron, but there you go. That's where it's from.
That's a good trilogy. I recommend it.
Oh, is it? Nice.
Yeah.
See, I can always trust Brendan knowing the references that I just
I have I an entire bookshelf of nothing but Star Wars novels behind me.
And this is why we won trivia. What, like 2 years ago? Yeah.
Always last year. Have a ringer.
I have no idea what he's talking about half the time. I'm just like, oh,
cool.
Well, for those interested, Alphabet Squadron is a series of three books that takes place between the Battle of Endor and the Battle of Jakku. So it's just a 1 year time frame. And it's a squad of five different ships for the rebellion, fledgling New Republic. You know, an A-wing, a B-wing, an X-wing, a Y-wing, and a U-wing. So that's why they're Alphabet Squadron.
Oh, that's why it's Alphabet. Okay, cool. Nice. That sounds cool. Awesome. Well, there you go. Check it out if you're interested. So today is a special episode. Obviously, we have LJ on. That's one thing. He's going to be here to talk about LVO and hype it up a little bit. And guys, it's our 50th episode. I can't believe we made it.
Congratulations.
Why are we still doing this?
Thank you.
I mean, wow, we did it.
We did it.
Wow. Wow, I haven't wanted to strangle John or Brendan yet.
I mean, it's hard to do through a computer.
That's true.
If we were in a room recording, who knows if this would have lasted.
It might have been easier because of John's technical prowess. Or lack thereof, maybe.
I feel like you've wanted to strangle me a couple times.
I will say, I had very little intro material for this. We just kind of inorganically threw things together. But that was in the intro packet, was that John was tech illiterate. So take that as you will.
It's fair. Yeah.
Yep. You know what? He could be taught. You know, I think he got it after the 20th episode.
Yeah, I mean, he learned how to plug in his microphone and his headphones and hit record. So, yeah.
Corey did do this whole setup that you see here, though. He had to come over and sit, you know, and then if anything shuts down, I have to call my wife to come down and reboot. And
I'm surprised you haven't been like, you know, you haven't accidentally disconnected anything and be like, okay, what happened?
I just call it a night at that point.
Just I know, right? It's like
shut the laptop. See you guys later.
No, but I'm you know, I'm thrilled that we're still here, still doing it. Obviously, people still like listen to us, so that's pretty sweet.
We appreciate that.
Yeah,
that we do.
I'm always looking for ways to improve the show or feedback. So if you guys have any suggestions, you can join our Discord. You can just chat anywhere with us. We also have an email address. If I was prepared, I would have it. SWLingloriousblasters@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions about what we should do or what type of direction you think we should head, that I'm like always willing to listen, right? We've been doing it, 50 episodes. That's a lot. Always looking for new ways to improve. So
that's one of us. But yeah.
I also like the thought train, don't fix it if it ain't broke. So
yeah.
I might listen to your feedback, but that's about it.
Well, just know if you send it by email, I have to read it first. So if it's directed at Corey, make sure I know that.
That's fair. Kick that Corey guy out. All right. So today on the podcast, we got, so we're just going to talk about Delta Squad. We're going to talk about, the news that had dropped a little while ago. IMG said there is no longer going to be a Worlds event. Instead, it's going to be replaced with Grand Tournaments. And then, obviously, we have LJ on the show, so we're going to talk about LVO. Really quick before we begin all that, upcoming tournament stuff. Brendan, I'll turn it over to you. We got Atlantic City Open. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. Hype me up, man. Atlantic City Open this year is June 15th and 16th. We've got two different tournaments going on. We've got a teams event as well as a singles event. If we do not meet the number of teams requirement for the teams event, we'll combine into just one big singles event. So if you do buy a team ticket and for some reason we don't hit the minimum number of teams required, don't worry, you'll still come and you'll still play Legion. You just won't be part of a team event. I really hope people do sign up for one event or the other. It should be a good time. Trying something a little different. We have also requested to become a grand tournament from AMG. I do not have word on whether or not we are at this point. As soon as I know if we have met that requirement, I will let people know. But in the meantime, I am working on getting prize support together for the tournament. And I look forward to sharing soonish some of the things I've been working on for it. So I will say I have changed up a little bit this year. I know one thing I'm doing different. I'm not going to do a bounty board like I did last year. I got some feedback on that, and some people felt some of the bounties were a little unattainable. So what I'm doing this year, got the idea actually from what Zane did at LSO last year, and I'm going to give out raffle tickets to people for games. I have bought three different color raffle tickets. Red raffle tickets and blue raffle tickets. You can guess which player gets each color. And then also purple raffle tickets. So whoever wins the game gets a purple raffle ticket. And so then you can then use the raffle tickets to try and win some of the prizes that I will have.
So that's cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that way, big fan there.
Yeah, so hopefully people will like some of the stuff I've got. Some of the stuff I am working on gathering. Some of the stuff is some of the neat collection of things I've gotten over the years that are Star Wars that, I don't have room to display. So I'm going to let people try and get my stuff.
Always a good way to get rid of stuff.
I don't have enough shelving in this room.
Right. Makes sense. Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to Atlantic City. So it should be a fun time.
Certainly hope so.
Yeah.
See everybody then. Absolutely. Mid-June. We're, a month and a half away.
Nice. And then I'm going to plug my own stores tournament. So Critical Hit Games in Abington, Maryland, May 18th. You can pre-register on the Eventbrite page. Go ahead and do that. It was very fun last time. Should be a lot of fun this time. I hope to see you all there. All right. So with that, we could let's talk about Delta Squad. Brendan, as you know, or as the listeners may or may not know, John and I can't read. LJ, can you read? I know Brendan reads for us.
Would you like me to go down the card?
I'll read the card. It's tradition at this point.
I do read every once in a while. It's not as regularly as I'd like, but I can indeed perform that function for you if we fall short here.
If I can't make through the card,
so we were making fun of John for being tech illiterate, but now we're making fun of people for being just straight illiterate, is what you said.
Straight illiterate,
exactly. Exactly.
Strong.
So,
yep.
Clone Commando's subtitle Delta Squad is a 4-man support unit for 100 points for the Republic. They're a clone trooper with 1 health and infinite courage with red defense dice. They have a range 1-2 weapon that is 2 black and suppressive. In melee, they have 2 black. They don't surge to offense or defense aside from one of their keywords, which we'll get into in a second, which is complete the mission. We saw that on the Clone Commandos. If they're at range 1 of the token, they get surge to defense. If an enemy's at range 1 of the token, they get critical 2. They also have to equip the Katarn pattern armor, and then they also have infiltrate, independent recover, recharge one, target two, and shielded one. And then, just like the other clone commandos, they can equip their config. And they also have two training slots, a grenade slot, and a comms slot that they can still fill up. The gear slot is automatically filled up by the Katarn pattern armor.
Well, cool.
They look really good. They make you have to think, though, which is not something I think a lot of the Republic units do. Because do you want the target two from an order, or do you want the free recover by not ordering them?
Yeah, no, I really like that you kind of have their highly tactical nature represented in that they're always ready, either by taking the independent recover or by giving them an order and giving them access to target. And I think when you are giving them that target to aim, or pair of aims in this case, and you've got the whole squad online and you've got the critical two going, you know, that pool's going to be real accurate even without some sharpshooter here, which I think is neat. I like that, again, no matter what you do with them, they always get some benefit, which is a neat bit of design space.
It's going to be neat. Yep. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I like them. I like the idea of doing, starting off a fire support with them as well. Because if you give them an order, they automatically get the two aims. And if they do an aim shoot, and then you have an order on another clone trooper unit, having three aims out of the gate, so an aim shoot with three aims, two from the target, one from the aim that you're taking from the aim action, seems really powerful. And even if you threw, like, targeting scopes on them, because they've got the gear slot, with those three aims, you're rerolling nine dice, which just seems crazy.
So you can't get targeting scopes on them.
Oh, you can't?
No, because of the Katarn pattern armor, you have to
equip that. Oh, I was thinking about that earlier, and I was like, how come no one's brought this up? So, well, never mind. So you're rerolling six dice. But
yes, we haven't really seen a mandatory gear slot yet. So
yep. Or you're probably rerolling four dice and then one for the lethal if you're shooting range 3 to 4 with their rifle.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah. So, I mean, I like getting those two aims off the jump, especially if you're doing, like, I've already been looking at kind of slotting things in with my Anakin Padme list from Worlds as, like, a starting point, and just removing the arcs and replacing them with commandos or these guys. So to pop Cs or something on Padme, have these guys have an order, and then be able to do that off a one pip where you wouldn't typically have all kinds of aims already built up. Having them have that target too allows you to have those aims on that one pip versus having to get all of the exemplar aims up or clone token sharing aims up, but still do a nasty one pip fire support and utilize the aims from target two. So I kind of like that. And then the infinite courage is awesome for snagging objectives and things. You're never going to get suppressed off an objective, which is really cool.
I think that's the best part about them. Their objective play is going to be really good.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the infinite courage on top of infiltrate.
Yep.
And the fact that they can't be one shot because of their armor, they're going to be really good for objective play. And I got to say, it's nice to see somebody other than the Empire get a unit with infinite courage. Even though, I like the Empire the most. But, you know, now I'm curious to see how they could potentially work that in for the other groups. Because I feel like every faction should have at least one.
I like the thought that these guys are either too courageous to be taken off the objective or too stubborn. They just die to the man. Seems very appropriate for clone commandos.
Yeah, absolutely. Clone commandos and then Delta Squad in general, like, I fear for this upcoming meta just a little bit, because even if you have like one medic and one dies, it's like, man, they just keep coming back. I feel like you're going to see a lot more clone medics.
I'm super these guys excited for the first aggressive infiltrate that I face, and Maul gets to say hello to them, and poor Katarn pattern armor does nothing does in melee. Nothing.
That's true. Yeah, if you get stuck in melee, good luck. Yeah. I mean, that is the one counter.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm going to, you know, have some more fun with the lat so I can have things, you know, up in your face immediately. So.
So what I'm hearing is you're going to do double lat, both Inquisitors. Got it.
Not yet, because I need to assemble my second lat still. But, you know, that is not off the table at some point in the future.
You madman. I like it.
Man, but how disappointed would those Inquisitors be, by the way, if you put them in lats? They have cool spinning sabers. Why would you do that? Why would you clip their wings like that?
Because they didn't give him hover one. That's why.
Yeah. If they had,
that's gotta be a command card one day.
It better be.
I hope so.
Now I will say the one thing interesting about the clone commandos, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, is they have a dot for the Delta Squad, which because it's before clone commandos means you can only take Delta Squad and not two more clone commandos. I don't know if it was meant in this fashion or if it was the dot should have been in front of Delta Squad. And, you know, so you can't take more than one Delta Squad. I mean, in the meantime, rules is written. You take Delta Squad, you can't take more clone commandos.
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see if this was the intent. I'm sure there'll be a rules forum. Somebody's probably already asked the question. But that's how it looks right now.
I don't know if you can imagine this, but the people that enjoy Clone Commandos, and particularly Delta Squad fanboys, are enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And may have asked that once or twice. Can confirm, and we'll leave it at that.
I mean,
sounds good.
Personally, it makes sense that they should be a one-off as Delta Squad, just because, from what I remember of the game, they never worked alongside other clone commandos. So, but
yeah, I mean, I could see it for sure.
Yeah, but, you know, people want to be able to run as many of something as they can usually.
Yeah, I think that's the downside at that point is the cost, and then obviously the lack of having multiple complete the mission tokens that you'd get with spamming three units of commandos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely spamming, or the lack of spamming to complete the mission feels less good. Let's just put it that way.
Yes. Yeah.
100%. You really have to pick and choose your complete the mission token spots.
Delta Squad feels a lot more intentional with your actions than the rest of the Republic Army.
For sure.
For the most part.
For sure.
So I think that plays into that. But overall,
I won't discount them out yet, because I think the objective play is there. The Infinite Courage, Katarn. Go on that box.
Yeah, and again, if they do
get to that center box, let's do it.
Yeah, and I think with what little we know about Bad Batch so far, they probably, you know, pair great with the Bad Batch.
Oh, they probably do. Yeah.
So
cool,
sweet.
Well, cool. That was the Delta Squad. So, AMG recently released an article saying that they are no longer going to be doing a Worlds event. I am completely summarizing this, and I've read this a long time ago by now. It's escaped my brain, so maybe someone else could talk about it better than I can.
From what I recall, they said it basically was a money issue, as well as they wanted to make sure that they could provide more for communities around the world and make sure people essentially got more. So from that aspect of it, I like the added support that they're trying to provide to the world, because some areas have more players than others. Then they're trying to, you know, help build up the game. Disappointed about the lack of worlds, certainly, but I can definitely see the money side of it. It was definitely expensive to pay for people's, you know, flights and hotels that won, you know, some of those qualifying events. I also heard that, you know, there was apparently some big shakeup higher up the food chain than AMG, so this was probably pushed down on them. It might not have necessarily been their decision, but the people trying to cook the books to make everything look more profitable are going, hey, spend less money. So that's probably
I don't To be honest, at first I was disappointed, and then, like, you know, after taking like a little bit to think about it, I don't think it's that bad. The only negative is, like, we all are not going to conglomerate in one area, like one convention, right? That's the only bad part. I do love the fact that they're going to provide more support. I imagine they're going to take the prize wall to other places, the other, you know, grand tournaments is what they're going to be called instead. So I think in that aspect, it's good. They're going to, you know, just push into other areas of the world that, like, and just give more support. So
yeah, at
Adepticon, I think it's good, a good and bad, but I think it's mainly good. That's what I'm trying to spit out.
Yeah, at Adepticon, I tried to, you know, get information out of Will Pagani, going, so what other events is this prize wall going to? And he was a little tight-lipped on that one. So clearly they have a plan. He did confirm they're going to take it to other events. He just wouldn't tell me. So
right. Right, I'm just guessing because, you know, at the end of the day, they still had tons of prizes on that prize wall. So what are they going to do? Throw it in the dumpster? They're not going to do that.
No, definitely not.
No, no.
Too many cool things in that prize wall.
I'm just glad that we all made it to Adepticon this year.
Yes.
Like, yeah, all three of us were there. We made it.
Oh, you just got to rub it in. Well,
that wasn't my intention.
Adepticon was like 2 weeks before I got home from this deployment. I was so mad I just barely missed Adepticon. If it would have come down to it, I would have gotten a ticket for my wife and we could have reconvened in Chicago instead of California. I was very jealous. It looked great from, you know, an outside perspective. Such a large gathering of Legion is always a great time, and Adepticon was always one that I had wanted to just go to, and so when I got to start going for Legion, I was very happy. So I'm happy for the convention. I'm excited to see what they do in Milwaukee in the future, because they did announce that they're moving locations,
yeah,
which came right before AMG's announcement. I know I saw some tinfoil hats go up of like, well, are you going to move it back now? And it's like, oh, don't worry. Adepticon is bigger than this game company. Trust me. They've had this cooking for a lot longer.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I do hope that I can continue to go. I was honestly planning on going to 2025 as a spectator, maybe instead of a helper this time, because again, like, I really just love the convention. And one of the coolest things about Adepticon for me was, like, there's always tournaments for games that I can't usually get here at home, or even at other events. Like, there'll be like a game that I've only heard of in hushed tones in whispered corners, and they've got like a 64-person event. I'm like, oh my god, this many people play this game? So yeah, definitely one that it's a strong convention no matter what. Obviously it'll be a bummer to lose it as that nexus point, but I have a feeling it won't be the last time you three assemble together.
I know Corey feels the same way as you do about it for Adepticon, because he gets to play other games, you know, except for when he, you know, makes it to day two of Worlds and, you know, is upset at himself because he couldn't
and then
play other games.
Get to play good. Suffering from success over there.
Yeah, so upset. Ugh. I didn't get to play my niche Mantic games.
For me, it was Arena Rex when I went in 2023. I was really jealous. I was like, nice. Hey, Nima, do you mind if I take this round off to go check this out? You can be the head judge of Worlds for a bit. He just kind of looked at me and was like, I didn't even know you play that game.
That's a fun game. I bought it, painted it, and then never played it other than the demo. Evan Bulris hooked me on that one. He's like, Yeah, here's the pitch, okay? You got gladiators in an arena. I'm like, okay, sold.
And then it's definitely a person that's got a one-off pitch like that and convinces you to buy some niche game. I could totally believe that happened.
Yeah, he got me there, and then we also got Rumble Slam. But we actually did play that one. But
well, Evan is always trying to get somebody else into something. I mean, he gave me both a Skyrim and a Fallout miniature because he already had them. So he's forcing me into two new games.
He's good at that. Yeah. It's because he wants other people to play with. So I respect the hustle.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, how about we just roll into like some LVO talk, because we got LJ on here. let's talk about some exciting news.
Well, as you may or may not have heard, there is an event in Las Vegas every year called the Las Vegas Open. And over the last 6 years, it has been my baby. Every year, it's been an event I have ran that has grown and grown and grown. The last one I ran in 2023 had 145 people for a single event, which was pretty cool. And I handed my baby over to Jordan and said, Luminous Gaming, go forth and conquer. And he did. Jordan took the reins of the frontline circuit from me this last year and did an awesome job running everything for me while I was deployed, and those events continued to pop off and be a good time, and LVO was once again an awesome celebration of Legion like it always should be. But we have to go back a little bit to about 2 years ago, when I knew the impending shadow of the deployment was coming, and Frontline was like, hey, MCP is doing this invitational system, and we think it's neat. Why don't you do an invitational system? And I was like, no.
Oh, okay.
And I told Kicker, who he's the, you know, events manager for Frontline, he's a great guy. I told him, I said, hey, you know, AMG has taken over this game, and they're doing their own OP thing, and this is what it's leading to, and, you know, I want to see how this goes, and I want to kind of use it as a backbone for something if we do it in the future, and, you know, let's let the MCP thing play out and see how that goes. And that's essentially what happened, is, like, I didn't want to start something and then immediately leave for deployment soon after and then come back and have to have, like, a bunch of other people run it for me. And so time just went on. And then, you know, AMG made their announcement, and I came back from the deployment at a very similar time frame. And I had been talking to Tyson, who is the person that runs the Marvel Crisis Protocol LVO Invitational Series. And I told him, hey, I think now is the time. We've been talking about this. We've refined it. I think we're ready to add Legion to it. And I asked him, I was like, hey, everything you're doing is great. Can we just do this for Legion? And he said, yes. And we were in business. Very simple, very straightforward. And so what we decided to do was create the Legion, you know, division of the Las Vegas Open Invitational Series. The LVOIS is a series of events that gets you an invite to an invite-only tournament at the Las Vegas Open, the next one being in 2025. There are also events that can earn you points that once we get to the end of the season and we're looking at trying to hit a certain number of applicants, then we start pulling from that number. And those people all gather, they play one big tournament at the Las Vegas Open. Super straightforward. This doesn't change what we're doing at the LVO, because that was actually something that surprised me, but also made me feel really good when we made the announcement, was that there were a handful of people in local discords and in the wider community that were concerned that the regular event at the Las Vegas Open would be affected by us hosting an invitational there. And it was like, oh, like, people still want the main event. That's awesome. Well, don't worry. This isn't going away. And when we made our announcement, you know, we were purposefully maybe not as straightforward with that, because I was trying to figure out with Kicker what the entire LVO event would look like. But we're going to be hosting the Invitational, a GT, and a doubles event on top of Scrambles. And Scrambles, if you've come from other game systems, this might be a familiar concept, but it's basically, hey, you get a pot of eight people together. As soon as your pot is ready, you go play three rounds together, and you record your results, and you just have fun. So there's a couple different events that are structured and aimed at a couple different groups. The open style being the normal Swiss event that we've always had, the invitational being something special that we've always wanted to do, that people will be qualifying for throughout the year and have actually already qualified for in some cases, and then the doubles event on Sunday that is always a great hit and we have a lot of teams come out for, on top of the scrambles to fill in the gaps. So we've now got this monster of an event. We were already turning it into a monster because everybody knew the LVO event was always the biggest event that happened every year, almost universally basically up until this last Adepticon. So now what do we need to do? Now we need to get a bunch of tables. Well, that's my problem. I'll worry about that over the next couple of months. But it is growing. It is big, and the invitational system is going to bring something that the Open didn't. And that's that, you know, highest level of competition that I think, you know, part of the Legion community is looking for. So we have about 45 events that have already been approved as qualifiers for the Las Vegas Open Invitational Series. If you go online and you take a look at the LVOIS.com website, there is specifically a Star Wars Legion section, and you can see everything that the invitational system brings to the table. It's got a basic description, you know, very similar to what I just described, as well as what the rules are going to be for the invitational. So you can see those now for an event that's in January of 2025. The rules packet for how the invitational system is going to work. The link to the event application to get your event on the schedule. What the actual schedule looks like in both Excel and calendar form, depending on how you like to view information, and then the player points list, which is going to show you who has qualified and who has earned points and could possibly get an invitational spot as the year goes on.
Nice.
Nice. Sounds awesome.
That was me. What are your guys' questions?
I was going to ask you where the rules document was, but as you were talking, I found it.
Excellent.
Because my main question was, and I didn't do any research until LJ appeared, so go me. So if you're trying to host like a local tournament, like are you able to earn points for the for LVOIS?
Yes.
And so I believe the answer is yes, looking at the document. So that's
definitely cool. Yeah. So one of the things that we wanted to do, just kind of taking notes from the last couple of years of organized play, was we wanted to make it pretty open and easy to access, especially this first year. This is all going to come out in packets and information later, but the size of the invitational is 128 players. There are 119 spots that are given throughout the year, 8 that are going to be given at that last grand tournament, and then 1 person is automatically invited, which is the previous year's winner, which of course that hasn't happened yet, but in this case we have a person in mind that we're going to invite to fill that spot. I'm sure you could probably guess it in 1 or 2 guesses.
Thank you.
Sorry, I should have said 3 guesses just to put the stick down like Joker and watch you fight over it. You're right.
Oh, so then I would have said me, and then Ben would have said himself.
Yeah.
I don't play lists that win like that.
But yeah, so we basically, what I've basically been telling people is, hey, the application is up. There are no minimums. There is no required minimum for your event to be considered an LVOIS qualifier. That's intentional. That's something Tyson did running his system, because he didn't want just the biggest convention events to be qualifying people. He wanted, you know, small locals to be qualifying people as well. Now, if you tell us you can host 16 to 32 people, but you end up having only 8 apply, well, then the next year your event might be a points-only event instead of a full qualifier. The difference between a full qualifier being that a full qualifier gives the winner a spot and the top 8 get points. If it's a 48 or larger person event, then the top 8 to 16 are going to get points. A points only is you only get points. But same thing, it's still everybody in that top 8 is going to get points. So if you only run an 8 person tournament, everybody's getting some sort of points. Now, that is balanced by the fact that the points that you earn are going to be based on the number of people that attend. So if you have a 23 player event, the winner is going to receive 20.23 points. So if you fall into that 16 to 22 player range, it basically has, and this is all on the Invitational Legion Event Rules section, it basically has, okay, first place is going to get this many points, second is going to get this many, and then that decimal point, that's essentially a tiebreaker. So if you placed higher at a 22-person event than a 16-person event, then you would essentially have an up on that tiebreaker. And if you're familiar with the Frontline Gaming system and how they do their qualifier events throughout the year, we basically give you your first, second, and third highest scores. So if you go to, you know, 20 LVOIS type events, we're only going to take your highest three scores, and that's going to put you on the points list. So that points list is going to grow and change throughout the year. And then when we get to, you know, the fall or so, when I have a very solid number of like how many invites have been accepted so far, how many tickets have been bought for the Invitational, now we can go to the points list and we can start backfilling. So there was a problem, you know, that we've had in the past with, okay, we want to give out invites to something, but we can't really control the endpoint because we don't really know if we give out 250 invites, are 150 people going to show up? The way that this is tracked allows us to be really on top of how many people are going to come. And then because you earn those points throughout the year on top of the full qualifiers, then it's really easy for us to fill those remaining spots. So I hit my 119 by the time we get to the Las Vegas Open in 2025. And then we have those other nine spots filled how we described it earlier.
Nice. This is a pretty smart system.
Yeah, this is awesome.
And one of the things that I really appreciated was that when Tyson created his version of this for Marvel Crisis Protocol, there really weren't event standards, period. And so he created a series guideline that had extra rules or suggestions or alternate things you could add to your tournaments. And that was something where some of the people that helped me kind of put this packet together really shined, because they had, hey, like, what do I do for things like, you know, hey, if an illegal list is submitted, what is something I can do? What are ground rules for calling a judge? How do I treat slow play or game state infraction? Stuff like that. And so that way, this packet that, again, is on the LVOIS website, this can be used for a store owner that has never ran a Legion event before. And it gives them a baseline for how they can treat a Legion event. And, you know, that was a lesson we learned back when I was doing stuff with Team Relentless, and we had kind of our guidelines for the 2019-2020 season when store champs became a thing. And you had stores that had never run a Legion event suddenly running Legion events. So one of the other things that the LVOIS provides is those standards and guidelines where if you want to use them to bolster your event or shore up something you're not comfortable with, then you have this packet to fall back on. One of the things I think that is strongest though about the system is it also is built to work within the system that AMG just revealed. So if you want to run a grand tournament and also have your winner earn a spot and your top 8 to 16 get points, great. Run a grand tournament, Galactic Conquest style event, you can still participate in this system. It's not meant to exclude or create friction between this system and their system. It's actually meant to complement it in a lot of cases. And I think that's going to be really cool as time goes on and people start running these.
Yeah, that all sounds great. It's a great plan. I do have a question. I assume that this is only going to work for a regular standard single play Legion tournament. So like what I'm doing with the Atlantic City Open, trying to do a team tournament, that could not work towards the scoring for the Invitational.
At the moment it does it, but I know the way that Tyson built this point system, I actually think there is room to be like, hey, if you have a 4-person team, each member of the first place team receives a number of points equal to the total number of people that attended. So if you had 4 teams at 4 people a team, so 16 players, everybody on the first place team would earn 16 points, and then they would earn more if you won more games on your team. So like, again, you could just subdivide and you could be like, okay, the person who won all their games on the winning team earns more than the person who dropped a game or two. And that way there is, like, I think the point system has the granularity built into it that's something we could definitely expand to. And I know that, you know, one of the reasons we had considered sticking with Longshanks as the tournament software that we were going to primarily use for the LVOIS was because how well it supports team events right now. And I think there's room to build that granularity in there. So you're not the first person that has mentioned using a team tournament. And I think there's room to grow that in there eventually. And I already talked about running doubles at LVO. All forms of team event are awesome in my eyes. So that's definitely an area I think would be very easy to expand into over time.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's just good to know, because, people like coming up with new ways to organize. So just trying to see if other ideas fit into the scope. So.
For sure.
Nice. You mentioned Longshanks. Real quick, is that mandatory to use, or are you allowed to use other systems like Game Uplink?
Longshanks is not mandatory to use. You can use basically anything you want. We just are using it as our primary system because the unique ID system means that everything in our kind of Excel-backed back end of the system works off that one number. So you could play in, 10 events, and as long as you use that that ID, you will get all the points that you have earned. You won't get confused with another John or another Brendan or another person, which is why we decided to continue to use the software that Tyson was already using for the MCP side of things.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah, and I will tell you that we pretty much already have, I think it's pure Game Uplink events in the system. Cherokee Open and Rocky Mountain Open were backdated into the system, so the people that went to those two conventions got grandfathered in, because again, Frontline is doing a lot in the background to help make this work, and so we kind of gave them that bone because they helped us out in getting this off the ground. And there's some other kind of exciting things related to this and Frontline events that I'll probably announce here in a while. And so they already got in, and then there were already events this weekend that just got put in there as well, that are officially now done and passed and qualified. And so you'll see that when you look at the results for a given event, you'll see, multiple softwares, like I said, in there.
Nice. That's really cool.
It's cool that there's still going to be the LVO, O as in open, aspect taking place, running side by side with the Invitational Series.
I immediately knew that somebody was going to be like, well, why do you call it the Las Vegas Open? And I was like, well, because I didn't name the convention guy. But that one of the big things I wanted to make sure people knew was that we're still going to feature a GT-style open event. That will be used to fill the last 8 spots of LVO. I can't not do that standard event, and I think it's going to be a ton of fun. I think we're probably looking at 128 cap for that event. I think we're looking at 128 for the Invitational. I think we're looking at 64 teams for doubles. So I think it's Saturday that if both events were filled, it would be a 256 player day, which is going to be great. I mean, that's what people loved about Worlds this last year. That's what people have loved about LVO in the past, is it's big, it's large, it's in charge, and it's going to have a lot of people, as it always does, which is cool. And the Invitational already has an international draw as well, which is awesome. Out of the 45 events that we have in the system now, I think a full 15 of them are international. There was 1 German, 6 UK, 3 Aussie, 2 Canadian. I've also talked to the French and the Italian major TOs out there for getting their events on the schedule. So everybody's still kind of in a reaction mode because, we had literally just dropped this. But, having a full 1/4 of your events already on the schedule international to me was really cool to see. And it's not new to have international folks at the LVO. We've had a lot of people. Never forget the People's Championship run with Palpatine Invader Dave Grant's legendary run of the People's Champion at LVO. So it's happened before, but I was blown away by how quickly the international community was to support the event, which I think is just really great.
That's
always awesome to hear,
because I know a lot of people's complaint about the change to the GT format is a fear that there's going to be less international travel. And I know a lot of us have made friends with people from other countries, and an event like Worlds at Adepticon was one of the few chances to see your friends from other continents and other countries. So to see that there's already this much interest internationally for it is great, and the hopes to still see your friends from afar in person.
For sure.
Nice. I got to get my tournament on this.
You should. I
should.
Oh, I reserved
giving
harder.
You crap at the start of the episode. Well, and you know what's funny that you say that, Brendan, is so I had mentioned before we started recording that I am moving to Florida this upcoming week for work-related reasons.
Oh, he's going to become Florida man.
I am going to be a Florida man legion here soon. And Jordan is doing a tournament on the 11th, and I was like, oh, that's perfect. I'll get there on the 4th or the 5th or so. The next week, I can maybe jump in a tournament to meet some people or say hi to some people I had met previously. And then we drop all these rules and stuff, and Jordan immediately applies for a full qualifier, and I'm like, well, poop. I can't deny that. So now my first event back and my first time playing in real life Legion after a year of being out of the country is going to be at one of my own full qualifiers. And I was like, man, you couldn't have waited until like the one next month.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
yeah, he dropped that.
Yeah, I'm playing this coming Saturday for May 4th. I'm going to an event that Nick Bodnar is running. And I know he has specifically said he's not applying for this event to be part because he wants people to just have fun on Star Wars Day and not have to try. So
that's understandable. And I talked to Tyson about that because we had talked about the ability for stores to reapply and hold multiple invitationals throughout the year or full qualifier events. And if you apply for it, there's basically a stipulation in the description that says every 90 days or 3 months, you could have an event at the same location, which is great. If you get something on the calendar in the next couple months, that means you can basically have three events throughout the year. And one of the other things that Tyson really liked about the points only events is it allowed an event to be a normal event, but for the people that were there to get reps in and, you know, be a little more competitive, there was still a reward that they got out of it by placing in, you know, the higher bracket of finalists. And that was I'm glad you mentioned it, because I know that when people see that as part of an invitational system, it automatically means this is going to be super competitive and sweaty. And I liked that was something that, you know, Tyson and I discussed when we were talking about adding Legion to the system, was that, you know, you have your store champs type invitational that people know they're there to win a spot for an event in January. But then you do points events after that, and that allows other people who didn't win the spot to still qualify or get reps in, but still also kind of treat it as a regular or more normal event and have it be a little less competitive at heart. Full props for running a fun May 4th event, because my store locally that I'm unfortunately leaving is doing a combo Armada Legion thing on the 4th, and I'm really disappointed I'm going to miss it.
Yeah, I've already decided on one list I'm playing, and surprising pretty much no one, it will have a lat.
We tried to get him away from it, everybody.
Keeps coming back.
He's coming back.
Second I heard that this was just going to be a for funsies tournament, I went, all right, yeah, I'm bringing the lat, and I'm going back to what I did in the fall, and I'm putting Dark Troopers with a Murderizer in there. I'm having some fun.
Nice. Oh, that's great. But yeah, that's how I feel.
Hey, your impact is useless when I'm hitting you with a giant cricket bat.
That's fair.
But yeah, I look forward to more events being added to the system. It's not all going to fill up at once. It grows organically throughout the year, or at least that's my understanding of how this is going to work. And yeah, if you have an event coming up and you want it to be part of the LVO Invitational system or series, just find the website LVOIS. It's very simple to do. That was another thing that I had talked about with some of the local store owners, was they didn't want an extra layer of difficulty when they were running their event. The The upside is there is no layer of added difficulty. You fill out a single Google form to apply. Everything else is handled by soulless Excel work. And then you fill out another Google form with your winners when you're done, and that's it. Everything else is handled on the back end by us.
Nice, quick, and painless, just as it should be. Yes.
And as soon as I see it and get it approved, like, you're good. You're on the calendar. You're on the schedule. You get your email that says you're approved, and I put it on the calendar that everybody can see. So there were a couple, you know, again, because we did unveil it on a Tuesday, and there were people that wanted to do stuff that weekend. I mean, as long as I know that it's coming, like, we got things turned around and put on there really quick. May is going to be a really fun month for the LVOIS because we had a lot of applications come through, and I've got a total of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 full invite events on the calendar for May already, which is just awesome. So yeah, wow. if you think it's too close, don't worry, we can accommodate. If you have something that you want to do in the fall, that's great, submit it as well, because I'll tell you that we already have events through December, which is the end of the season. So please, you know, if you're interested in it, if you think it'll be fun for your players, your community, this is meant to be a community effort. It's meant for you to enjoy playing the game and earn something for your players on the side while they're playing the game that you love. So if you already had an event on the schedule and you want to upgrade it to an LVOIS event, then please do so. One of the other things that I talked to store owners about was just, you know, the access and more people seeing their events. If you know it's an LVOIS event, that might also increase the foot traffic at the event because people want to go to get those points or get that qualifier spot. So I hope there's an element to this that also grows local events, and I think that'll be good.
Nice. Yeah, I like what I hear. Absolutely. So just a fun tidbit for myself, looking at the player points list, I'm gunning for you, player name test number one.
Yeah, so you got the over most the weekend of right now. One of the things that Jordan wanted to do that was in addition to the system was, like I mentioned, if your event is over 48 players, we wanted to give points to more people. And so Tyson was doing testing over the weekend, which is why you see that, because he's changing all the back end stuff to support giving up to 16 players points. So, you know, it's stiff competition, but Longshanks ID AAAAB, you know, will hold up until the last man, until the last miniature is removed from the board. They will not be removed from that spot.
That's right.
So yes, please, you know, please apply for events, submit your events, get your points on the board, and you know, have a great time, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
That's why people should play the LAT.
That's why people should play Legion. We could have just pinned it up.
Got a full circle. It was so close.
So LAT. He does love the LAT.
Hey, look, as soon as the range troopers come out, I will talk about the LAT less.
You won't let it go.
Oh. Gross. You wound me.
You wound me, sir. Well, John, Brendan, you guys have any more questions for LJ? Yeah, while we got him here?
No, I mean, this all seems very well planned out, as I, you know, knowing that this is an idea 2 years in the making makes sense. I would hope that something being worked on for this long is this well thought out, because I've seen plenty of projects professionally that, you know, so the fact
that just don't work.
So the fact that, you know, this seems to be as well thought out and organized and everything is amazing, as it is, you know, so it seems like it should be a very painless process, and I wish for nothing but success in this for you, LJ.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's very cool. I really like the idea of chasing after the invite, since Worlds is obviously going away, and this is not a replacement for Worlds, but still provides competitive players a way to compete for a invite-only tournament. And this, you know, perfect timing. So Worlds goes away, and then we have this invite-only system pop up, and I'm here for it. I'm psyched.
Well, A, you're psyched makes me psyched. And I know people don't usually describe me as a ball of emotion when they see me in person. But, man, was I pretty excited to start putting events on that calendar. When I started to flip through the Google Calendar and I saw that, like, you know, almost every weekend had Legion events going on. Again, that's really what it's all about. And as somebody who's been running large events for 6 years now, it just absolutely warms my heart to see the community come together so quickly to support a project like this, be interested in a project like this, and, you know, throw dice on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad to hear there's like tons of events already being put in, so that, you know, that means the game's doing great. The game's doing well. So love to see that.
Yeah.
Awesome. I look forward to this. So
that's another thing I was thinking about is that there are natural lulls that are kind of built into the game and its release schedule and stuff. And something like this, again, provides that reason to go to that store, play that tournament, and then it's all cyclical. You know, when you go to an event and you see an ATST stomping around the table, that generates interest. And even though, you know, at the time news might be low or things might not be going in the game the way you expect, you're still playing and you're still getting the game out there and it's still growing, which is what it's all about.
Yep, I'm here for it. Love it. All right, well, I appreciate you coming on, LJ. This is a lot of fun to chit-chat about. And thanks for joining us on our 50th episode.
50! Yeah, congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I went back and listened to episode one this week.
No, you didn't, did you?
I did.
Why?
I was just curious, just out of curiosity. It dropped on April.
It was probably bad.
You know, I was thinking it was going to be really bad, but maybe because I had low expectations. I listened back and I was like, it's not so bad. I mean, it wasn't the greatest, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So I was actually like, okay, but we have definitely gotten better since April 29th of 2022 when episode one released.
If nothing else, we have better microphones. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
This is true.
Yes, we have. I love upgraded equipment and intro music and.
Yep, I love how like I recommended you guys the Yeti, the Blue Yeti, and then like mine died as soon as you guys got yours, and mine had lasted like 13 years or something like that, and I'm like, well, if yours lasts 13 years, like that's good then. So that was, I just thought that was a funny tidbit. As soon as you guys got new microphones, mine died.
So. Classic.
Classic. Well, I hope to do this another 50 episodes with my co-hosts. As always,
why?
You guys should check out the, why? Because sometimes I have fun on this show for some reason. I like debating nonsense. That's the fun.
It's not nonsense.
I like debating small plastic toy soldiers with
go.
You guys. Alrighty, well, everyone should check out the Discord. Link is in the show notes. You can send us an email at swlingloriousblasters@gmail.com. You can check out our social media nonsense. You just search for it. I don't remember it. Just search for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, come interact with us there. We have a lot of fun over there. I'll do another call out. I do love the pet pictures section.
Oh yeah, LJ has just recently joined our Discord, so he's going to have to enjoy the entire pet channel and see all the pictures.
Yeah, I like how the most recent pictures in the pet section are just zoomed in eyeballs.
Yes,
that's you can thank Evan for that.
Evan has done that for every pet picture.
That's all of them, actually, not just the recent ones.
That's a special.
I look forward to contributing then, because I'm sure my husky will enjoy me standing right in front of his face with the camera.
Oh, good.
Get annoyed about that at all.
Well, no. You'll you'll send a normal picture, then Evan will basically crop just the eyes and repost it.
The deeper I go into this channel, the further into madness I feel like I'm
basically
going.
Yes.
I guess I'm just scrolling up right now as you describe it to me, and I realize the mistake I have made.
Yep, it's pretty accurate.
Yep, welcome to the Madness Discord.
So you should definitely join if you're not part of the said Discord.
That's right. We have fun here. We have fun here. Alrighty, I'm gonna land this ship somehow. Thanks for coming on, LJ. I'm Corey.
I'm John.
I'm Brendan.
LJ, you can say your name.
You can say your name.
And I am LJ Talk Polite Penguin.
Stay glorious, everyone.